In John chapter 10, though the key passage that I will be referring to is verse 16, I'll read verses 1 through 16 of chapter 15 of the Gospel of John concerning the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. In this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Well, the title of the message this morning is simply this: Ye Have Not Chosen Me. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We ask your blessing upon your word. We pray also, Father, that you administer your word to our hearts, that we might receive what you have for us, and that we might understand these things and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, which is able to teach us such and such things as that we need to learn, and how we might grow, and that we might continue in faith and be servants of our Lord, even as he calls us friends. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this passage this morning, we are reminded that there is an intimate and close relationship between the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn from this passage also that we also have a close relationship with Jesus as well. And Jesus begins by using this parable of type, if you will, the vine and the branches, saying that he was the true vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And so the union of Jesus Christ with his followers is represented by the parable of the vine and its branches. And so, first of all, let us just say that we have a close union with Christ because of what he has to say to us here, that we truly are closely connected with Christ because Christ has made it so, and that Jesus is called the vine and we the branches which are attached to the vine. And if we understand the true meaning and what it means to be a part of Christ, we know that it is to know him as our Lord and Savior, and it is to follow him as true disciples of Christ. It is to realize that we are his servants, and it is also to know that he has chosen us. We have not chosen him, and we'll get to that just a bit later. Several areas I want to look at this morning. First of all, the union of Jesus Christ with his followers is represented by the parable of the vine and the branches. And so this parable has something to say to us about our relationship to Christ and how he wants us to abide in the vine and how he wants us to be fruitful as a part of the vine. Secondly, he exhorts them to mutual love. That is, he tells them to love each other or one another. In verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Being acquainted with the love of Christ, we know that God has shed his heart abroad, his love abroad in the hearts of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that as God says that he loves the world and gave his only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world, we understand that that love is truly manifest in the life and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also receive of that love when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our true Savior. And the idea of receiving here means that we do understand that he is the Savior of the world. We acknowledge that he is the Savior of the world. Therefore, we do follow him and take him as our true Lord and Savior, knowing that he alone forgives our sins. And then thirdly, Jesus tells them that they did not choose him, rather he has chosen them. Sometimes it is hard for us to understand the whole concept here that election talks about. But when it comes down to the true nature of man, we know that the nature of man is fallen into sin. That is, sin is separates us from God. And there is only one way that we can find a true union with God, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that we cannot attach ourselves to the vine all by ourselves. God had to do this great work of redemption. Therefore, God is the one who chooses us. We do not choose him. And though we may use such terminology as saying, "I chose Christ as my Savior," and though we may use such terminology as saying, "Well, I received the Lord on such and such a day," or I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that there is ample scripture that talks in this particular manner, yet at the same time, if God is truly the sovereign of the universe and Jesus is the only true Savior, then that does not make you and I a Savior of ourselves. That makes Jesus the Savior and God's sovereign plan of redemption the true work which has brought us unto the saving knowledge of Christ. And so it is true what Jesus says himself concerning this matter. "Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." And we'll address that a little bit more in a moment. But first of all, this union that we have with Christ is represented as the parable of the vine and the branches. Now, sometimes it is good for us to have a picture of things, isn't it? And a very vivid picture in the agricultural climate of Palestine, if you will, was the vine. The vine was a very important part of the agriculture of the day. It gave them the grapes that they might press out for the wine which they drank. And so it was an important part of the fruitfulness and the type of blessing that God would pour out to them. In fact, Jesus even lifted up a certain cup upon the Passover and said that that cup represented his blood. That cup of wine represented his blood. and that he would give his very lifeblood for the ones that he loved. For God so loved the world. And so when we take this parable and understand the thrust of it, we understand that perhaps even the mind of the heart of the Lord was to picture himself as in that cup, because it would not be long that he would be suffering the sufferings of death that would take him to the cross. And his lifeblood would be poured out as a cup is poured out. And we find that that would be a very important step that would be accomplished in God's great plan of redemption in revealing his Son as the Savior of the world. And so the union of Jesus Christ and his followers is represented here in this parable. And as we consider this parable, we understand that it has a great bearing upon our relationship to Christ. Illustratively, we are the branches upon the vine, and Jesus is the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, as a parable is meant to be illustrative of a certain truth, and not necessarily to be taken in the sense of building decreed doctrine off of it, as we might say, then we understand that he's giving us a picture here of something that goes on in the process of taking care of the vine. And Jesus is the true vine. And we are the branches upon the vine. And what does the vine dresser do? But the vine dresser is involved in the care of the vine. And so the vine dresser prunes, the vine dresser takes care of those branches which are no longer fruit-bearing, the vine dresser tries to encourage the good branches, that those branches will bear fruit, and the ultimate desire is that the vine may be fruitful, and the fruitfulness of it may be lasting fruitfulness. That it wouldn't be just transitory, but that it would truly be lasting. And so, take the illustration in the more practical sense, if you will. And so as you look at your life with Christ and consider that Jesus is divine and you are attached to the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a branch upon the vine, consider then what God the Father is doing in your life that might make you more fruitful and that your fruit may be more lasting to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so look at it in that practical way rather than trying to discern some kind of a aspect of doctrine from it, because it is meant to teach us in a practical sense, just as the Lord gave the vine parable in that practical sense. Let's look at a couple more verses here. In verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye abide, except ye abide in me." Well, the second practical aspect of the vine is that the branch must be securely abiding in the vine if it is to be fruitful. Perhaps you have seen branches upon the vine that seem to be lacking the substance and nourishment of the vine. And maybe you have examined the branch a little bit more closely and you have seen that it is partially severed from the vine, that it is still attached, but yet it is partially severed, and that it is not receiving the full nourishment of the vine. And so the branch, in effect, is not abiding upon the vine very well. It is in the process of separating. Perhaps something has leaned upon it, and it is weighing down the branch so much so that it begins to break away from the vine. Now, in a practical sense, what is the application? Well, there are many things in the world that can lean upon us, can weigh us down, and that can cause us to be separating from the vine. It may be the cares of the world. It, such as finances are often the care of many people and difficulties which go along with it. It may be health issues which sometimes do weigh upon us and we feel as though we are unable to serve the Lord, and so we are weighed down with physical infirmity. It may be the pressures of family, psychological or sociological issues that somehow weigh upon us. The troubles and the afflictions and the kinds of things that many people have to bear. And many of these things can be a weight which will weigh against the vine and the branch and cause the branch to begin to separate from the vine, you see. See, looking at it in the practical sense, we can see here wherein this becomes a valuable parable to our lives. And we understand that God wants us to abide in the vine. Now, how do we keep from allowing the world, as it were, and the cares of the world and the afflictions of life and the troubles and so forth that we often bear, how do we keep those things from causing us to be separated from the vine? Well, that is, of course, another area of sanctification, isn't it? Where God separates us unto himself. It is an area of growth and maturity, and it may go to the fact that the branch has been neglecting its relationship to the vine for a very long time and has become weakened, as we might say. And so we find that in our own personal lives, if we are weakened because we lack the kind of instructive relationship with Christ that we ought to have, if we are not feeding upon the vine as is needed, as the branch is somehow been negligent about its relationship to the vine, how is your prayer life? How is your devotional time? How is your opportunity of witness? Are you praying? Are you encouraging and nourishing that relationship that you have with Christ, you see? There are many things that can cause the branch to be weakened, that when the pressures of life comes against it, it can begin to separate in that moment of time or through a great longevity of time which has weighed down the branch and made it less intimate to the vine. You see, there is a practical aspect to what he is saying here, and that is the idea of the parable. The parable is to teach us something in a very practical way, and that's supposed to be the aim of it. In verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Well, the natural process of vine dressing, of course, is that there are some branches that are healthy and vibrant and great branches, and they should remain upon the vine. And the vine dresser comes along and prunes off those that are have become ineffective to the vine. They are not receiving the nourishment they should have anymore. They are somehow separating from the vine. They are lacking the strengthening from the vine that they truly need. And so what do? The vine dresser cuts them off. They are gathered together. Those are disposed of. They are no longer of any particular value. Well, I suppose this might be one of the dreads of our relationship to Christ, that we would somehow have an impractical life with Christ, that we would somehow believe that we have become less than useful to the Lord. That would be probably the dread of any Christian. But any true Christian who has a heart for God doesn't want that to happen, you see. And if that is meant to be a certain warning to us, then it is probably one that should be taken to heart. That we must, as it were, cultivate our abiding in Christ if we are to be of service to the Lord. As someone has said, that we are saved, but we are saved to serve. And so it is a very important aspect of what it means to abide in the vine. We must be useful. And if we are not useful, then it may be that our detachment from the vine will lead us to a great ineffectiveness, and that the picture here is that there is a natural consequence to that kind of relationship to the vine. And I guess I would have to stress the natural consequence of it. We find that the Bible always teaches us a sense of natural consequences. They who sow to the flesh shall reap of the flesh. A natural consequence. They who give themselves over to the Spirit of God, as it were, and allow the Spirit of God to work in their life, well, there can be great fruitfulness. As we love to say, God doesn't make us automatons in the sense that we are somehow robotic. As we love to claim the aspect of free will in special areas, let us also understand that will and what God means to do through us also is important to our integral relationship with Christ. In other words, if we are closely connected to the vine, if we are closely connected to Christ, should we not also expect to do or live out what the vine is expecting the branch to do, rather than our own desire? If we expect that we will be fruitful, then we must live up to that responsibility of fruitfulness. And so in the parable, the vine dresser comes along, cuts those branches off that are not productive, and the natural consequence is that they are without usefulness. In verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. In the parable, then, in these first six verses, there's these eminently practical aspects of the vine and the branch. Come to verse 7, and he immediately introduces something which is so personal to the practical aspect of the vine and the branch that we can't overlook it, and that is prayer. How does prayer get in the middle of a parable that has to do with vines and branches and relationships to it? Well, it seems to be the natural outcome of what he meant by the parable, and that is we are to have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the vine. We are the branch, or branches, and we must have a personal relationship with Jesus. And how do we do that? Except we have some intimacy with him in prayer, in communication. And not to make prayer too mystical, like it can only happen in one place at one time, but to say this, that prayer is a divine communication that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And because prayer is so essential to our relationship to Christ. It is like the lifeblood of our very existence with the vine. And so he mentions prayer. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. But we first have to abide in Christ. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. To abide in Christ, and to know the words of Christ. And so we have this close relationship to the vine, and that we are in constant communication with the vine, because we are abiding. In this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. In the second area, he exhorts them then, not only to prayer, but to fruitfulness and to mutual love. To prayer, that we've already mentioned in verse 7, to fruitfulness in verse 8, in this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Fruitfulness and discipleship go together. Prayer is preeminently important to our relationship to Christ. And so prayer and fruitfulness as disciples of Christ. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And so he mentions these three areas that are significantly important then to the vine, to our relationship to Christ, that we are to be closely connected with him, we are to abide upon the vine, we are to have this close relationship, that we are receiving strengthening from the vine, and that strengthening means that it is an ongoing intimacy of communication with the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. Through his word, through prayer, and through his word. And we will then be fruitful. And we will then love one another. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he exhorts them to mutual love. In verse 12, he calls them friends. And he promises to lay down his life for them, in verses 13 through 15. The parable has taken a dramatic turn from simply a practical aspect of looking at life as a believer, as a disciple, that we are attached to the vine. Now he's saying there's some very important things that are happening in this relationship. Important relationship brings about communication that we have with God in Jesus Christ. The important relationship brings about fruitfulness, that our fruitfulness will be the natural outcome of this abiding in the vine. And this personal relationship that we have with Christ will mean that we will obey the very command of God to love one another, even as he loves us. And so much the so that we find he himself gives the important truth that he would lay down his life for his own disciples. And so he says in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. And so the parable, though it has its eminently practical aspects of it, it immediately turns upon those things which are of close personal relationship to Jesus himself, and that his disciples were to know of that close personal relationship that he meant to have with them. And that new relationship, that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was one of divine appointment. And that is the third area we want to look at in the few moments that we have left here. And so thirdly, Jesus tells them that they did not choose him. Rather, he chose them. Now, considering the parable of the vine exists quite apart from the sovereignty of the branch. It's the other way around. The branches exist because of the sovereignty of the vine, not the other way around. You don't find a branch growing out here in midair without a vine anywhere. You don't find it in natural life or anything. It's true that a branch may be grafted into a vine, but we don't find the branch existing without the vine. So Jesus is expressing his sovereign character in this parable. Sovereignty that he not only loves his disciples, but that he has chosen them, that they have not chosen him. Now this should immediately humble us and cause us to realize that our relationship to Christ is because Christ has chosen us in him. Now the word chosen here is the word which may be translated to elect or to choose, as God alone can do that. And it also implies to us that this relationship is of great intimacy then, and one where God himself is the sovereign originator of it. And so we have this relationship with Christ. And Christ means for his disciples to know that his love for them is greater than their love for him, because he is the one who loves them far beyond that. In fact, his love is so great, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so we find that this relationship would lead to kind of like turning the tables upon the normal relationship in society. Now let me explain that this way. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In society, in the Jewish society, the servant did not know what the master was going to do. In other words, he didn't know the master's mind. The servant did not tell the master what to do. The master told the servant what to do. And we find that there was not then that intimacy. There was a separation between master and servant. Pretty much like you might say, well, I go to work and I have an employer who employs me to do a job. And he tells me what to do, and I'm getting paid to do that job, and that's what I do. You don't go in the morning and tell your employer what you're going to do. He tells you what you're going to do. In fact, there is a separation between you and your employer. It may be the time clock, or it may be a number of other people between you and the employer. But you never get close enough to the employer to do much more than say hello, or to receive the check at the end of the week, or the orders for the day. There is not that close connection to the employer as in normal life, or servant and master. But Jesus says that's going to change between you and I. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You see, the disciples were giving the information that the servant doesn't normally get. They were given the information that was paramount to the fulfillment of the very plan and purpose of God. And you and I have that information. And because of that, we know the Lord in such intimacy as the true vine is attached and abiding, as the true vine and the branch is attached and abiding together. We have that close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. God has told us what purpose it was that Jesus not only came into the world, but that that relationship that we have with Christ and the future relationship that we will have with Him. In fact, we know exactly the roadmap, as it were, to get us to the right place to not only abide in Christ, but to live for Christ and to live forever with Him eternally. We have a friendship relationship with the Savior. He is our friend. And He said, and the disciples are called friends. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Well, In this 16th verse here, we find that it can be taken a number of different ways. Some have understood it as simply saying that He chose them as being disciples. But I'd like to say to you, what Savior has not saved or chosen us in all aspects of our discipleship with Him? You see, as much as the disciples might have been chosen to be disciples, they were also chosen in all other aspects of their relationship to Jesus. And that relationship was to take them forward, of course, into an intimacy with Christ, that even after Christ Himself would die upon the cross for them, we find that they would continue the same program of ministry to which God had ordained them. And that's what the next thing that He says: ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you and ordained you. The word ordained means to be appointed to in this particular case. It's not in the sense of a pastor being ordained for the ministry, because Jesus didn't lay hands on each one of them and ordain them to the ministry in that manner. No, He called them. He called them and He appointed them as disciples, and we find that that appointment would take them to the ends of the earth. And so it isn't like a clerical ordination, but an appointment that God meant for them to carry out. And we might use the verse of the scripture that says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As God appointed these who would be His disciples to do that very thing, to go and to preach the gospel to every individual. And we find that that collectively meant that they would go throughout the known world at the time, and they would simply proclaim Christ to the nations. And we find that each of us are called to that. Each of us are chosen in our relationship to Christ to go and to do that, and are appointed unto that, you see. And so this relationship is one which is a very close and intimate relationship. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever ye shall ask in my Father's name, that you shall ask of my Father in my name, He may give it you. A couple of things that we probably should take note of here in closing is that they were meant to be fruitful. He told them that they were chosen by Him, that they were appointed to fruitfulness, and that they were to pray. And that their prayer unto the Father was to be in Jesus' name. Now, if you will, this is a kind of simplistic formula that we might recognize in our own lives. How are we to be fruitful? Well, we are to recognize, first of all, that God has chosen us and appointed us to go and to preach Christ. Christ is the one who brings forth the fruit from this ministry of his word. You remember back there where he spoke about that. To abide in him and to abide in his word. We don't of our own selves produce the kind of fruit that is divine and lasting. God is the one who produces the divine and lasting fruit. He is the one who is able to save, you see. He is the one who is able to answer prayer. He is the one who is able to change lives. All of this is a part of what God does. He uses us as instruments, as his servants or disciples, as we might call ourselves, and in this case, friends. But we are not the one who conjure up the fruitfulness. God is the one who does the fruitfulness in our lives. We are to abide in him. We are to abide in his word. And we are to pray. And God will bring forth the fruitfulness, you see. Sometimes we think that if we pray more, then there'll be more fruit. Well, that isn't necessarily the order of events. Prayer is important. It goes along with the whole relationship. But if one is not abiding in Christ, if one is not abiding in the Word of God, prayers may be quite ineffective. In fact, they may be doing nothing at all because you're out of relationship with Christ. But if you're abiding in Christ and you're abiding in the very Word of God and you are praying as well, then fruitfulness may be the natural, should be the natural outcome in your life. Let God be fruitful through your life as you abide in him, abide in his word, and give yourself to the service which he has called you to do. And if you will do that, then God will truly reveal great things to you. He says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." An important word, which somehow brings things together, the love of God. And we probably should not overstress that, that if we have received of the love of God, then we will also give of the love of God one to the other. Shall we bow in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for your word this morning and pray that you will use it to the furtherance of the gospel. Pray, Father, that you will take our hearts and lives and transform our lives in a more fruitful and beneficial way, that we might see ourselves truly in a very practical sense as this parable of the vine and the branches ministers it to us. May your Holy Spirit impress it upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.